Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Wanted to share a little scripture verse here. There's one song, one little phrase that stuck out to me, that caught my eye. 669. Jesus sought me when I was a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. As I saw that and consider my life and my growing up years, I don't consider myself being in the fold of God, but I was going to go a certain direction. And Jesus sought me to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. And that's very humbling when I think about my life, our life, testimony. As we think about sharing testimony, to pluck in here, to become a part of the local body, I feel a responsibility to paint a picture of how we grew up, our journey, and how we came here, I guess, how we came to Christ. However, there's a lot of details. It's been, we've been on a journey since we left the Amish, since we got converted. It's been over 8 years now. So, 8 years after we left the Amish, but yeah. So it's been a journey, so we plan on not getting lost in the details, and just sharing the main important where God worked, and that we feel is necessary, or maybe not as much necessary as God could be glorified as well. We feel like it's best to, we've shared our testimony several times. Closer to mic, okay, sorry. It works best if she shares her testimony. She got converted many years before I did. And so I will let her share her testimony first.
I don't know if that's right or not, but I hope that the Lord can be glorified as well in what I share. And I grew up in a family of 19. I was the second youngest, and we were a happy family for the most part. We had our times and a lot went on, but we were happy, but there was still like, my mom and dad were in a journey of trying to find God as well, or even just more light, maybe. And I feel like that actually gave us a chance, a bigger chance, in actually being more open-minded to what was right. I remember as a young girl wondering about God, and when I burned the trash, I'd be terrified to think that I would end up in the fire, hellfire someday. And so there was a fear inside of me about that, but I didn't grasp God. I was a real bookworm, and so I read any and every kind of book out there, some good and not so good. But I started reading missionary books about Pablo Yoder, Harvey Yoder, and those kinds of books. And in those books, in the back of that book, there's always a place where it talks about how salvation works. Like, it tells you how to be born again. So I knew enough that I knew I wasn't right with God. And I was getting more rebellious as I got older. And I tried several times to commit my life to God and read the Bible, but after the next weekend came around, it didn't matter anymore. I was with the crowds, and I was And when I was 12, still going to school, I entered into a secret relationship that was inappropriate. And that continued and kept drawing. That was a lot of the draw that kept me coming back into parties because I wanted to be where he was at. We didn't see each other a lot, but you know, that was a place where we could see each other. And so I kept going back there. And when I was 16 and a half, it felt like, hey, this was gonna be over soon. Soon the secret would be out, and yeah, it would just be great. But God had other plans. And before I turned 16 and a half, he left the Amish. I had no clue about that he was thinking that way. And so that took me all the way down to the bottom. So the same night that he left, I committed my life to Christ. I was like, God, I cannot do this on my own strength. Like, it was too painful. And I felt like in that moment, I realized that all I was living for was gone. And so in that time of distress, I cried out to God. And that's when I got converted. I completely surrendered my life to Christ. And there was still a lot of questions, like we had no teaching on like that was wrong to be in a relationship like that. Just figured it must be right because we both feel that way. And so I had a lot of things to sort through after that. Like, I had God started speaking to me after that. Little things like the Holy Spirit started talking to me, and I was amazed. Like, one time, mom would always want me to comb my hair a different way, and I had some things in my room she wasn't pleased of, and so I got rid of it. It didn't matter to me anymore. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me of reading romance books. I don't know that my parents were really against it. They knew we had those kind of books. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I just went and got rid of them. And I had such peace, like, in my heart. I was like, even though I was struggling, I went into depression after that. But in that low time in my life, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have Christ. And then shortly after that, I got really tested. We ended up at a party against my will. I won't share all the details how that happened, but anyways, I was feeling like the devil was trying to get me back into partying. And so they tried to play all my favorite songs, and usually they weren't wild enough, but that night they tried their best to get me back. And I could really feel the presence of the enemy in that room. And finally I found an escape route and we left. And I realized at that moment that there was a power inside of me that was greater than the power that was in this world. And praise God, that was the last party in that community. They ended up getting rid of everything that night. And so, yeah, I praise God for that. And then, yeah, the next couple years, I worked through that relationship issues, and Dennis and I met about 2 years later, something like that. And we got married, and then we moved to, Michigan. And I'll let Dennis share how we came to the point of baptism. And
so, yeah, I grew up in a family, a Schwarzentruber family. She noticed she didn't share it with Schwarzentruber family the way we grew up, but in a Schwarzentruber family of 13 up in Chesley, Ontario, Canada. And I would say we didn't have a horrible home life, not a bad home life. We had a lot of what we call fun. What I call fun now is it was a lot of carnality, a lot of chokes, a lot of pranks, life-threatening pranks sometimes, but somehow it was still fun. No teaching on the Word of God. Growing up, I had many times I had questions, does God exist? Is there a God? I didn't know. And so, growing up as we got older, growing up in the teen years, as I got out of school, I got into parties, and we had, radios about everywhere. And we got very good at sneaking around people, doing stuff behind people's backs. And at one point, I had a desire to be an FBI, because it was basically what we were practicing, or an undercover cop or something. I'm not sure why, but anyways. And then at, I would say, probably 14, there was a private relationship started, secret relationship, kind of in the same way, me and another girl. It kind of started at school, and it progressed there. And then when, becoming of eight, well, up to about 16 and a half, I had left the Amish, left home out of rebellion for a little over around a month, somewhere in there. And just, there was a lot of pressure as growing up, a lot of pressure. Hair were never the right lengths, and our hat was too much like a cowboy style. And I can see where all those concerns come in now, but it was targeting the wrong things. And so it caused us boys to rebel. And so as I grew older, there was a lot of partying, a lot of just silliness, goofiness, and this private relationship continued on until it was, we were old enough to, it was public, and it continued on until I was 18. And their family moved to Ohio, down to where they lived, southern Ohio. And that was really hard on me. And then that was in the fall. And then spring, when I went down to see her, she was like, so on my end of it, I had no desire for anybody else. I had visions of us raising a family and getting older. And then that spring, she was like, she can't see a future. And so the relationship broke up, and it was a very dark time in my life. And I had no one that I trusted to talk to about what I was going through, the struggles I'm facing, and I considered suicide, and I'm like, well, that's not even an option. I would say I considered it a little bit, and then deep down I got very scared of where will I end up. But still I had this question, why? Where did the trees come from? Where does all this stuff start? What's the purpose behind this? And I would say my life got so dark, if there was a seed of the gospel sown in my life, I would have got converted then. But there was no seed there. A plant couldn't spring up. And so I was in Ohio, and then I decided to head back to Canada and told the others I'm planning to go home to join church. But my actual plans were when I get to Toronto. So I had left when I was 16, left the Amish out of rebellion. Then that made some connections. I knew I had a child. So I decided when I get to Toronto, I'm going to call Don, the guy I worked for when I had left, call him to pick me up, you know, and sound at the bus terminal. And that, and then through that, I was going to end up in Alberta as quick as possible and just skip the Amish as fast as I can before anybody knows what happened. And I got to Toronto, went to the payphone, and the conversation was pretty short on the phone. I just told him I'm coming back from Ohio, asked him if he could pick me up in Owen Sound bus terminal. He said he could, told him what time. And just as the bus was leaving the terminal, I realized I talked to Gary, not Don. And I was very upset. And because Gary was the guy that basically forced me to come back to the Amish when I was 16. So there's no way he's going to help me out. And so I'm like, well, I'll just continue on my plans of joining the church. I'll maybe follow instruction classes a couple times and then leave. And talk about a lot of pain in my life. And yeah, I made some choices that summer. I ended up never leaving. And looking back, God stepped in. I don't know exactly what happened. Did I accidentally dial the wrong number? But I know one thing, God did a miracle. I look back now, and God stepped in and saw that I was at a very dark place and completely done with my whole agenda of what I had previously. And he stepped in and said, I'm going to take you this direction, even though I didn't know him. I don't know which number I dialed. I just know who I talked to. I realized it later. And I'm very thankful for that. But that summer was very miserable. I didn't know God. I didn't have God. I was struggling with, yeah, the whole thing of life. So moving on, it would have been, yeah, I did stuff that summer that I'm not very proud of. But it would have been the next spring, I think. We started dating. And I would say his previous relationship still wasn't completely, it wasn't dealt with. And I just kind of forced myself on into another relationship, and we ended up getting married. I was not single at heart when we got married, and just pushed on, kept focusing on it'll get better up ahead type of thing. And well, then the church went through a split there in Middleburn, and we were encouraged to read the Bible. Not only were we allowed, but we were encouraged to read the Bible for ourselves, have family devotions. And so we did that. So there's a couple things that stood out to us, like, okay, the Bible's teaching this, such as tobacco, bed courtship, the bond, different things like that, that the Bible teaches one way and we're practicing it another way. So I brought this to the bishop, talked about, and there was no way he was going to change it. So we decided, well, we're just going to find another church. And so that's through that we ended up here in Fremont, Michigan, with the old orders. And there again, in this whole time, I can't recall ever coming across the message of salvation or we need to be born again. Or the interview up here was nothing. It was basically, it was based after Ortnung's letter. You read that and, basically as long as you comply to that, you can move in. And so we did that, and it was about a year, was it a year after? About a year after we lived there, that Henry's were up there, and somewhere in the meantime, Henry got converted. And he was sharing his testimony, and him and Nelma are, well, he's sitting in their living room, and Nelma's starting to agree with him, like, yeah, and they're just identifying. And all of a sudden, I got this picture that they're connecting. Basically, I get these pictures. I'm maybe too technical, but I had this picture of they're on a road that connects to each other, and I'm coming up towards that road, but I'm on a dead-end street. I can't connect. And then Henry shared a little bit on how he thought he was converted. I forget what all you shared there, but anyways, I feel like God opened my eyes there. It's like, I need to be born again. I need to be converted. And I thought about it a little bit, and I'm like, all these, I can get my hair in order, my shirt in order, I can get all that, these earthly things I can get ordered, but this I have no idea how to do. And so finally I just told them, I don't think I'm born again. I don't think I'm converted. And as soon as I said that, I felt completely lost. Just, I knew if I was to die then I would go to hell. And talk about a terrible feeling, but I don't know how to change this. And so it went about a month just seeking God and praying. And then I finally, one evening, I felt God calling me again. So over this months of time just seeking God and also being wanting a clear conversion, not a false conversion. And so I felt this calling, this still small voice inside me asking me to just confess my sins and surrender my life to Him. But I felt like I needed to be in a private place to do so. And which is not a bad thing, but anyway, sometimes I'm up on a roof doing construction work when I felt this pretty strongly. And I'm like, well, I'll do that tonight. And then one evening, well, evening comes and I don't feel that drawing anymore. And so, and I'm not just going to manually do this. And so anyways, one evening when I realized that this had happened again, I pushed it off. I realized that I felt like my chances are getting small. I'm pushing God back. So I told God, the next time He draws me, I'll drop whatever I'm doing and surrender my life to God. And so it happened one evening when I was harnessing up my horse to go somewhere. We were getting ready to go to Harmony Haven, the boys' home up here in Everett, to be for house parents. And just as I was putting the harness on, it hit me again. And so I just dropped everything right there. The horse wasn't tied up. It's standing outside our mini barn there. And I went into the barn there and surrendered my life to God. I was expecting my horse to probably run off, and I don't know where she's going to be. And I really didn't care. I was going to get right with God. And so, yeah, I got outside the mini barn. The horse is still standing there. I couldn't believe it. And I would say it was the first confirmation that I had that this was a real thing. Plus, I felt just completely light. I didn't know I was burdened down so much. And the next was when I walked into the house. I walked into our door in the kitchen. Sing is right to the right there. And I walk in there, and Neoma looked at me, and she's like, "What?" I'm like, "I didn't say anything." And our spirits connected. And so I just kind of walked on, and it wasn't until I was being stubborn, I was going to make sure that I'm converted and not have a false conversion. So I didn't say anything to her until a day or two later. But she picked it up that something changed. Because I was reading the Bible, not only reading it, but basically devouring it, and just, it was coming alive. So shortly after that, I came across scripture that I felt like we needed to be baptized into Jesus. Like this, and my eyes started opening up. So I went to the deacon there and just shared it with him. And so, yeah, somehow I was supposed to repent of my unbelieving state and reclaim my baptism. I tried it for a while, but I could never figure out how to do it and how to have peace with it. And so we finally kind of dropped it. And there was other things that were kind of piling up there, I guess. Witchcraft. She was able to pull paint at some point. Then while we're in Everett, we came across that subject and ended up renouncing it. Got free from pulling paint, the witchcraft thing. And I was excited about that, so I brought that home and shared it at home there in Fremont, and that caused friction because they weren't on the same page as Everett was with that. And we are now, so things were kind of piling up, and we were kind of the unstable people in the church. And anyways, baptism, we were, the guy I was working for, we were encouraged, we had a lot of really good conversations. Sometimes we would, end up getting in a conversation at break time, mid-morning, and before we know it's lunchtime. And so then we were on the subject of witchcraft, and then he made a copy of this pamphlet called Fountain of Life Ministry. Just copied the back page of it with all the sermons on it. And handed that to me, pointed out the message that I can listen to. Some very good teaching on this subject of witchcraft. So we did, but what caught my eye too was baptism. No, that was later we listened to that. Because I ended up leaving a message. I'm like, hey, I want to know, this is a good message, but where are these people? This lines up with Scripture, and it's like, it's almost like this is what we're looking for. And it's kind of like we grab for it, but where are these people actually? I mean, where on earth are they? Are they real? Is this just some good preached message? And so I ended up leaving a message. So if the end of message, you can leave one. So I left a message. I was like, well, I don't know if I'll hear back. Maybe it'll be a week. Will I ever hear back? So about an hour later, Moe Stolzfus called me back, tape Moe's. And we had about an hour-long conversation. So we kind of stayed connected there, and I think on the second phone conversation, he asked me, so when did you get baptized, now that you're converted? I think I shared my testimony with him when I got converted. And his question was, when did you get baptized? I said, well, in the Amish church. And he's like, no, I meant, when did you actually get baptized? I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like immersion baptism, being baptized after you're born again, and he explained that whole thing. So long story short, we ended up down in Ohio at Remnant Christian Fellowship. That was the only connection we had. It was through one of our co-workers, brother Rupin Yoder. And we felt kind of guilty doing that, because we knew it's against the church's will there. But I felt so under conviction that I had to do something. I had to move forward. And so we made arrangements to go down to Remnant for baptism for me. I felt like she needs to be baptized too and renounce the Amish, how would you say, you get baptized into the Amish church as well. It's not just in Christ alone or whatever. There's a whole package that goes along there. And so, anyways, long story short, she ended up getting baptized as well. She got convicted the day before. We're there at John Loniger's house, and a bunch of other people were there too, and there was different testimonies being shared that brought her to conviction that she needs to be baptized as well. Or do you want to share anything there or not?
I can. I was struggling with the fact that if we get baptized now, we're going to get baptized into the devil, because that's what we were always told. But with the people sharing their testimonies, I felt like I didn't have peace anymore. They were going over scripture, they had their Bibles out teaching us, and they're saying, we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And the one lady was sharing how she was looking up the word baptism and what it meant, and it meant to be immersed like a pickle in brine. And I was like, I wasn't baptized like that. And I knew I wasn't baptized into Jesus because when I got baptized, I had to promise to keep the ordning and then be a faithful member in the Amish church. So I knew I was baptized into the Amish church and not into Jesus Christ, not alone. They used the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to baptize us into the Amish church. And so I didn't have peace anymore. I wrestled back and forth like, yeah, but what if I'm getting baptized to the devil then? And so it put up quite a fight in me. And then finally I was like, I need peace. And so I decided that, well, I also had that where baptism doesn't save you, but it preserves you. And so I was like, well, if it doesn't have power to save me, it doesn't have power to condemn me. And I decided, you know what? Jesus said to be baptized into him, and I'm just going to follow his example. I'm going to get baptized with the immersion baptism like Jesus did, and I just wanted to know that I was baptized into Jesus. And so, yeah, I told Dennis and the others that I wanted to be baptized, and I was, and I never regretted it. I had so much peace and just knowing that I obeyed the scriptures. I know I did. And so that's my testimony on that.
So, yeah, it's interesting being baptized. I just wanted to be obedient to what I felt convicted and what I felt like the Bible's teaching. And people are telling me that, yeah, when you get baptized, they experience just almost a new light, a refreshing or something. And I'm like, well, whatever, I'm not going to look for anything. But I felt like right after I got converted, it's almost like there's a wall from my old life to new life, to the new life in Christ and the old life. It's the seal got put on the can, if you will. And there's a wall went up. I can't go back there. I mean, I could, but it'd be a lot of dangerous grounds, I guess. So anyways, long story short, we ended up moving. I'm going to skip a bunch of details on how we ended up moving to Ohio, to Remnant there, and where we, I would say, went through 4 years of detoxing from old mindsets. And even though I realized that the church is at a place, we finally came to the realization that the church is at a place where we're not comfortable with, and the direction that they're heading. And even though we got some really, really good teaching. Time's moving on. So how we ended up in, we were there for 4 years. I think it was around somewhere in there. And then we hit some financial crisis that we were just simply up against the wall. I didn't know where to go. I asked for advice. I didn't get any advice, didn't get directions. And one evening when we sat down to eat supper, we just asked God to give us, if it's his will, that he would. So, okay, backing up a little bit. There was a family down in Patriot, Ohio, Gallipolis, all the way completely southern Ohio, that was driving up to Remnants 2.5 hours up there to church for 2 years already. And me and her were talking about some of us should move down there and just start a community down there. It's right in the midst of a big Dan Gamela Amish. We don't know what Dan Gamela is. It's kind of like Swartz and Troopers. A big community there, and be a great place to put a church. And so I guess God took us up on that, our vision there. And so one this evening, we asked God, we were considering this. We were actually down there at one time. We were invited down for a graduation party of this family's, one of their children, graduating from school. And we were down there, and we liked the area, and we decided to pray about it. And so we asked God, and so the other thing we realized in our financial situation that we can sell where we're at, sell the property. We found a small property down there, back in the sticks, not even cell service reaches it. And so we would have had to have home phone. And so everything worked out that we could, it looked like we could sell our property up here, move down there, and be debt-free, completely debt-free. My dump truck, I was driving dump truck at the time, hauling gravel and dirt. I could pay that off as well. And then, so we just asked God, if this is your will, we have to do something, but if this is your will for us to move to Patriot, that you would send us a buyer outside of real estate so that we know this is you directing us. And I was like, well, I just want answers. I don't really care what kind of answer it is. About exactly 24 hours later, this Amish guy calls me, and I had no clue. I never talked to him before. I didn't know him. And he said, I heard that your property, or you're thinking about selling your property. I said, well, we are. And he said, well, I don't know. I think we share maybe some details there, but he's like, could I come over? Could we come over tonight yet and look at it? I'm like, yeah, well, later on. We're not home yet, but we had gone doing some shopping. And I told him we can be home by a certain time, and then they can come over. They came over, and before the evening was over, we agreed on a price, and that was our buyer. They still live there today. And so now, God answered our prayers, but now, do we actually move down there with not knowing if anybody else is going to move down there as well? We're just kind of by ourselves. And so we moved on those bases down there, and with the vision of maybe starting a church there, just start praying for the people. And our property situation last minute got swapped around, and yeah, it turned out interesting. We ended up living right in the middle of the Amish community where everybody could watch us. And our house was about maybe 20, 25 feet off the road. And they're walking by, driving by. We can't hide anything. And I have to say, I absolutely loved it. And so, pressing on. We kept praying, kept seeking the Lord. Now we're not going to Remnant anymore. We felt like we have to disconnect fellowship there. But we still had a mindset. In that whole time, somewhere in there, this Agape circle started taking a stand against or having brotherhood agreements and just drawing lines on where do we stand. This is where we stand. And so I'm like, a lot of us, or a number of us that saw this, they're like, well, they're going back to where we just came from. It's rules. It's you might as well join the Amish type of thing. And so, so we had formed the mindset against these types of churches. But in the same time, we're observing the fruits, and the fruits meaning the next generation. And so finally we're getting a picture of, and we came to a point where we can't just continue as church and not knowing where we stand. It has to be okay that we can stand and say, actually, this is where we're at, just to draw a picture. Because if you look at churches, every church has a standard. A lot of them are unspoken. And it's just interesting to observe that. And so that's kind of where we came to, but still we had this mindset of these churches are dead religion, breeding dead religion. And so we kept watching, kept observing, kept traveling around, and then we found this church out in Flat Rock, Illinois that we saw was spirit-filled and same vision as we have, and they don't have standards, but yet we stand on the Word of God and we stand firm. That's the way, that's what's going to preserve us. So, long story short, we find out they have also unspoken standards. Unclear, I guess. Not to say anything against them, it's just that's what we found, I guess. It's just nice to know that we know where we stand. In that time, towards the end there, we still had a burden for the people there in Patriot, but yet in the same time, we can't just continue living without fellowship by ourselves. We need fellowship, and this is going on 2 years, 2.5 years that we're there by ourselves. And so that spring of, which would be about 1.5 years now, there was other things going on. I started hauling barns in the meantime, and we made friends with an English couple just down the road from us, and they were telling us about an abuse situation that their daughter was in and neighbors involved, and the law is not doing anything about it. Feel like they're on the abuser's side. And the male lady was involved, was good friends with their neighbors, and I delivered a barn that the guy mentioned something about moonshine, and he said, he's like, yeah, my best customers are the state patrols. And I feel like God gave me a picture, or I got a picture of this whole area is just corrupt. Just, there's wickedness, even the government. The Amish people are, there's parties, you hear Bucky's going down the road, radio's blaring, and I got all excited about it, because I'm like, this is a fight that can be won through Christ. And in the meantime, one of our Mennonite friends, log truck driver, supposedly committed suicide, and that was a very suspicious situation too, that his ex-wife rigged it, made it look like he committed suicide. And anyways, this one evening we were over at our friend's house that we're going to Remnant still, and I was just telling them that I feel this area is just wicked. There's a lot of wickedness here, and we need to pray against it and pray for revival, that souls would be converted. This is the enemy's territory, basically. And I was very bold. I'm to this day not really scared of the enemy. He can't kill us unless God permits it. And so that evening on the way home, I got an attack. I felt something kind of coming on my head. This is kind of where it started in a physical way. This was what, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the evening. We're coming home. And I started shaking, getting cold, and very thirsty. And then at times I felt like something's trying to choke me. And long story short, I got some of the brothers on the phone from Flat Rock, and they were praying, and it went on for a little over 3 hours. We finally decided we have to go to the hospital. I had to physically distract myself, I'd pass out. And so before we left for the hospital, I threw up, and it was all liquid. I didn't know a human can contain that much liquid. And as we got close to the hospital, or as we were on the way to the hospital, I felt like I'm actually passing on. I could feel the presence of heaven, basically. And it was so glorious. I'd go back there anytime. And I actually thought I'm passing on, and so did she. I think she might have sped up. I'm not sure. And so coming, as we got right close to the hospital, my issue just cleared up like that. It was gone. There, I was completely normal. And so we just went on a little further and got on the interstate and headed back home. As we got closer to home, it started right back up again. And so ended up keeping on going to Jackson Hospital. They checked me out. They couldn't find anything. The only thing they could find is I was seriously dehydrated. Yet she claims I drank gallons of water. A lot. Anyways, that put pressure on, with pressure from some family. The church in Flat Rock, you have to move out of that area. The enemy's trying to kill you, and you're in the battlegrounds where by yourself that you shouldn't be in. So in that way, we pushed ourselves to pack up to move to Flat Rock. And it felt, as we were packing, it felt like there's a load of bricks tied to us that we can't, we were forcing ourselves to pack. Anything we tried to do, we felt like we can't. You just can't go. And there again, I got a picture of if we moved to Flat Rock, I'm going to face discouragement, major discouragement, and to the point where I just can't handle it anymore. And I'm like, well, if we don't, we're just sitting here alone. If we don't move, then what? And every time I ask that question, I get a picture of fall. I'm like, is God speaking to me? And I'm like, no, I'm not that spiritual. And so we forced ourselves to pack up and move. And yeah, and I felt completely torn, because I really want to get the gospel out to this area. And my heart has been for a number of years prior to that to live right in the middle of a community and not necessarily speak words, but live out the gospel. Because that's what those people do, is observe. They watch and they observe. And we realized a couple times that, yeah, there was a couple little things that we did that we had. I had some really good conversations with one of the ministers there. We bought a property from an Amish guy, and we had to remodel the house, and that caused conversations. And I had several two-hour-long conversations with him. And he'd stop in sometimes after dark, just for the smallest thing, but he wouldn't dare. When we're out in public, other people are around, he wouldn't talk to us. So it was interesting. I feel like there were things starting to happen there. But what was I going to... Oh, so if we don't move, then what? Then I got a picture of fall. And I felt like later, now looking back, I feel like if we would have stayed there until fall, we would have got an answer, a clear answer, whether people would have moved in or we would have moved somewhere. But it would have been peaceful. It would have been clear. But that day when I got on the interstate with our load, we packed up a minibar to move her stuff. When I went down the ramp, I cried. I knew I'm pulling out of, it felt like I'm going directly against God's will. But he allowed us, he let us go. And discouragement settled in. Nothing, in Illinois, nothing worked. I couldn't find work. I mean, I found some. But everything I did was discouraging. And so the vision to move out there was to move with an outreach. And that whole thing just tanked. There was like nothing, nobody ever said anything about an outreach. And it's just nothing. Completely dead. There's no answers. Their property in Ohio is not selling. It's sitting there. I'm paying someone to mow the lawn. And it was just, yeah, I can't describe what all went through that summer. Then getting closer to fall, we started having people interested in our property in Ohio. And I thought, this is very interesting. I had the picture of fall, and now all of a sudden it's getting closer to fall. Now we have people interested in the property. And so, long story short, one day I was just battling discouragement and yeah, chest pains and the humidity there, the environment. The humidity was my enlarged heart condition. It wasn't good at all. It was kind of out of frustration that I told Naomi, if it's God's will. So we started actually more seriously considering a couple different places, and this was one of them. And I told God that, so Bethlehem in Ohio was one of the other ones, but the church is full. There's a lot of people there. It's like, not that we can't move there, but if we get an answer, direction from God to move there, we will. And we would have kind of probably rather chose that as far as being in Ohio versus Michigan. But I told her, kind of out of frustration, I told her one evening, if it's God's will that we move to Michigan, I pray that our property would sell rapidly quick, that so that we're free, that we can go. And yeah, 2 days later, we signed contract on our property, cash offer, and it was about exactly a week after I said that we had closing. And so after we signed contract, she asked me, so when are we going to Michigan? I had completely forgot about what I said because I was discouraged and frustrated. And I'm like, what do you mean, Michigan? And then she reminded me, and I'm like, okay, I guess we have to go now. And so, yeah, that's how we ended up here. Was our mindset on what we picture this church to be up here, not only just this church, just the whole Agape circle. where we were at and where we thought you all are at, it's just simply not going to work out. But I'm like, well, I feel like God, obviously the property sold, so we're going to come check it out. And we've been surprised that I think our vision is the same. It's been a surprise the opposite way. It seems like every door you go to open, it almost opens. It's like an automatic door, just opens up. So anyways, yeah, I guess that's where we're at today, even though it is, Michael shared something last Sunday that was kind of triggered something of that whole having a heart. I guess my desire if I would have a choice where to live, I would live right in the middle of an Schwarzentruppe, low-class Amish people, I guess. I'm not sure why, but that's kind of where my heart's at for those people. It's not easy the way we ended up moving. We had clear directions to move to Patriot area, and we moved out without having peace of moving out. And so it makes it really difficult, actually, to completely, I'm not sure how to word it, to completely let go and trust that we are at a place where God wants us, or is it our own agenda, even though we really appreciate the church here. Back to what Michael shared, oftentimes the darkest hour is just before dawn. And I have felt like that's exactly what happened when I feel like the enemy actually physically tried to kill me there in Patriot, and it was really dark. And that's what grieves my heart, is I feel like the enemy won the battle. So pray that we can move forward, trusting the Lord. I just want to be exactly where God wants us to be. So the scriptures I wanted to share is in Ephesians 4. It's basically a phrase, a part of the verse. He led captivity captive. And I think we could go miles on that one. If you just stop and think about it, he led, if you think about captivity, he led that captive. And then he gave gifts on the men to do his will. So I desire your prayers. We just want to pluck in to a body of believers where we can move forward. And whether it's in, it doesn't matter which state it's in. But I guess my biggest burden is that we don't step outside of the will of God. Sometimes I do struggle with actually having a purpose here. I'm not sure it's weird, but I kind of like when people observe me. I'm not sure why, but in order, like there in Patriot, it was just, I was completely at home. You can't hide anything. Anyways, I think that's all we have. God bless.